Sarah again on Construct Talks. Today I'm talking with John Moore, electrical lead at Zorna Group. John and I are talking today all about how he has come up through the ranks in his career and now working on data centres, and some really insightful advice of if you don't have data centre experience, what he would expect and what it is actually like working on a data centre as an electrical PM responsible for hiring contractors on those projects. So let's get into it. Hi John, how's it going?
Hello Sarah, yeah, all good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, good. So it's Sarah Hartley-Kane, guys, talking to you today for Construct Talks, and I've got John Moore, who is the electrical senior electrical PM for Zorna Group, and today we're chatting all things data centres, and if you've got data centre experience, what you can do, and when you haven't got data centre experience, what you can do in an interview to impress. But John, give us a bit of an intro into you.
Yeah, so my name is John Moore. I'm the electrical lead on for Zorna Group. We're currently working on a number of DC projects, particularly for the design assist at the moment, looking to get some contracts over the line in the next few months, in the Nordics in particular. So we're looking at Norway and Finland. They're the big hot spots at the moment for DCs kicking off.
Yeah, it's hot in those areas right now. Do you know, what's it like being a PM electrical lead in the data center world right now?
It's great, to be honest. A lot of positives. There's a lot of work about. They're in great locations, which is another thing. I was over in Norway a couple of weeks ago looking at a project, and it's some great locations. So you get a really good work-life balance if you get things right, as long as you can manage the hours.
Yeah. There is, it is long hours, right? There's some, and it's just that the locations are pretty, some of them are pretty stunning, right, as well, like proper, just good landscapes to be around and good areas, like, and it's not just in like really remote Arctic Circle areas either, some of these jobs are, they're in well-built up areas, there's still loads to do.
Definitely, yeah. Now there's a few, in particularly in southern Norway, I know there's projects kicking off around Stavanger and the Skien region and things like that. All with pretty decent transport links. There's direct flights to Stavanger, and you can get to Oslo. There's a few airports there. Yeah. So that's really good, and there's a lot to do. So we're going to need a lot of construction professionals in those areas to build these DCs on these huge campuses that are popping up.
Yeah, and that's probably leads on quite nice to the next question. It is busy, isn't it, right? Loads of data centres being built. I think I always say this, but I'm sure in Europe it's about 3,000 new like infrastructures in the next 5 years to like cope with the demand of the data that we all like consume now. So I know Zorna are going to be taking yourself specifically is going to need quite a lot of people. Maybe there's two sides to this, right? Sometimes it's great to have the data center experience, but it's not always the luxury that we have, you know, especially when you need people straight away. So maybe two sides. Why is it good to have the data center experience? But also, on the flip side, you know, when you need to look at other people, what can people do in an interview with you to show that they've got those transferable skills?
Yeah. I suppose the big one for the benefits of having the DC experience is you understand the processes and generally what the client's looking for. So particularly on the QA side of things, there's a lot of documentation that they use on various platforms, so they all have their own. A lot of them use shared platforms like BIM 360, Procore and so on, but they're very heavy on the documentation. There's very clear steps that you need to follow for the commissioning, so it gives you a real advantage if you do have the DC experience. You can hit the ground running, so it's a lot easier to integrate somebody with DC experience into project teams.
Yeah.
In terms of things that I'd be looking for from candidates that didn't have DC experience, obviously it's competence in whatever they're doing. So recognised trade qualifications I'm always looking for. There's a lot of people out there that don't have any formal qualifications, testing, inspection and qualifications, yet they're doing QA. So sometimes you get the odd red light there. However, some of these people do have transferable skills and there is competence there. But I think it's very important, particularly on the electrical side and mechanical side as well, when you're signing off on critical systems, that you do have the competence there. So qualifications, if you didn't have it, that would be the number one prerequisite. The next one would be a good attitude. You need to have a really good attitude to fit into the team. There's a lot of demands. There's a lot of pressure on, particularly when you're getting things over the line for the tags. It can be challenging. It's not for everybody. It's not an industry for everybody. And I think the lifestyle reflects that. You know, it's very fast paced, a lot of hours, a lot of pressure. So if you're into that sort of thing, it's great.
Yeah,
I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way, to be honest. Everyone complains at certain stages, but I couldn't go back to just a normal construction project.
No, and I think when people are asking for the data center experience, what I find is exactly that. These people say, the clients say, if they've not used to data centers before, if they've come from, I don't know, nuclear, oil and gas or something, they will technically 100% be able to do the job. It's, in fact, data centers in complexity compared to those jobs is there. It's basic. It is simply the pace of and that's what the clients say to me. And from across the Europe, they're like, if they've not used to the pace before, it can be a proper shock to the system. And that's what people don't like. But it's almost hard to qualify that, because you say it's, as a recruiter or as someone who's maybe interviewing, like yourself, you would say, like, if you've not worked in this is what it can be like. And they can say yes to the ills come home, but until they experience it, they don't know what they're getting themselves in for, right?
Yeah, particularly the oil and gas. I've noticed a big trend over the last couple of years. There's a lot of people moving from oil and gas into DCs, which makes sense. Generally speaking, I would say a lot of the oil and gas guys that have that experience over the years, they're actually more qualified in a lot of instances in terms of their knowledge.
Yeah.
However, it's the pace that they find the transition from the pace is different. You know, in oil and gas, if something's not right, you know, you can wait a week or so. That doesn't happen in DCs.
No.
So like I say, their competence is definitely there. It's just getting used to the program. Everything's program driven on these projects. Time is money.
Absolutely, yeah, because there's big fines, right? If you don't like get it to the, there's big, that's what people don't realize in the background. Like, if we don't put here the big tech giants or whoever it is you've got, whoever the end client is, there's big fines for the main contractors, yeah, if you don't hit your targets.
Yeah, what I'm finding, particularly with the programs, they're becoming more detailed, and the more that they're building these relatively similar or repetitive projects, they're understanding the sequence and logic more clearly. They understand the durations more. So the clients know how long these jobs take to build. And obviously every next version of that project that you hit, you're getting a tighter deadline with a more detailed program from the outset. So your starter schedules are becoming more detailed. They know the critical path activities. They know what they need to be getting on the long lead item lists and getting the kit ordered straight away. So it is... In a lot of ways, it's becoming easier because they're giving you more information. So there's a project I'm working on at the moment. I've never seen so much information in a pre-construction tender stage. We're bottoming out a lot of the, what I would generally class as site issues, months before we even start on the project. So it's, they're giving you all of the information, but on the other end, they're going to expect you to be deliver on those dates. If you don't, I think it's going to be, there'll be some difficult conversations.
Well, it's good, isn't it? It's quite refreshing to see that, you know, there are like these, the end clients are revolving with the times. They're understanding it a little bit more. And it's all, you know, bringing that construction supply chain together can be difficult. And sometimes it's out of your control, isn't it? Like if there's environmental issues, for example, in the country, or logistics or the supply chain issues with the equipment getting to site and things like that. Hopefully they're planning a bit more for these that eventualities and delays that can and often do happen.
Yeah, it's amazing how much detail they're putting into and how much they're spending actually just in the areas. So if they're setting up a campus, for instance, I was out in Norway a couple of weeks ago and we're looking at the local road infrastructure. How are we going to bring these big lorries in with all of these containerized switch rooms and generators and so on? So it's gone from just looking at the project to everything that supports the project. We're looking at ports, delivery routes, how we're building this equipment, where we're building it. We're getting right into the fine details now and ironing out exactly how to build these projects effectively and as quickly as possible. So it's really good. It's an exciting time.
It is exciting, isn't it? And I think it's quite, for maybe anyone listening who did, maybe they didn't realise about, you like never thought about, because I've never really thought about, oh yeah, the roads, if it's new roads, actually building these massive lorries and trucks, you know, especially if it's in like in Norway, for example. I know it's going into like, some of them are going into like old granite mines and things like that, aren't they? Where they're blasting stuff out. Exactly, and it's interesting to learn, maybe for other people, that, oh, these things, these thoughts and considerations, which do affect their job, are being decided at the top level down before you get on site.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, like I say, with our team at the moment, we're working through a lot of workshops, and we're literally getting the products from, if it's coming from Ireland or Romania or Poland or France or wherever it's coming from, literally following it from the flat pack product to where we're assembling it, how long it's going to take to assemble it, what quality checks are going on in that location, how we deliver it, lifting plans. That's the kind of levels of detail we're going into months before we even start on the project. So it's, this should hopefully
feel a bit organized.
It's going to minimize the issues that we have on sites, and the coordination is key to these projects.
Yeah. Well, people say organized chaos, but like construction sites are busy and manic, aren't they? Right. That level of organization should hopefully put some people's minds at ease, especially if they're not used to that, the DC world previously. You know about yourself, John, you've kind of like gone, if I think about your, obviously we've talked for a lot of time, so I've placed within Zortner Group, but you've come from like an electrical on the boots kind of job, haven't you? And then gone through. Maybe for people who want to go into project management, tell us a little bit about your journey, like how you've got to like this point now.
Yeah, so I'm a time served electrician from Newcastle. That's my background. Very proud of that. Originally, my dad had his own company. He ran that in Newcastle area for about 25 years, retired a couple of years ago. My brother's taken it over since. But I served my time with a local company. We did really varied work, but it was a hands-on role. There was no programs. There was no work packs or anything like that. It was, right, okay, we need to get a power supply to a motor or a piece of equipment, and you turn up, you write a little list on the back of a fag packet and go and get the gear and install it, test it, commission it. That's all broken into all of these steps now. We have all the dedicated professionals for this, but it's really good to have done every stage of that. And then I moved on. The first part of my data center journey, I suppose, was with Winthrop. I was working with them in the Sandviken area of Sweden, not far from Gävle. Learned loads, literally hit the ground running. We had a very small team on the electrical side of things. It was during COVID, but luckily we had a really good team. So I learned a hell of a lot from the experienced guys that were at Winthrop at the time. There was some really, and they still are in the industry, they're top of their game for the commissioning side of things. They understand the processes, and more importantly, they understand what the client needs and how to deliver that. So I had a really good insight, and it was a hands-on role. It was a very open office environment where we discussed everything, got everything out on the table. How are we going to solve these problems? It was a really good experience. After that, I went on to another great contract. I went to work with Jones in Denmark. Loved that experience as well. We had a great team on the project we were on there. I was working originally as a senior construction manager in that role. So I went from, I suppose, kind of lead supervisor, package manager roles in Winthrop. Next stage was the construction management. And then I was promoted internally in Jones to a project management role. Really enjoyed that again. Worked with a great team there. Still very good friends with a lot of those guys. And it was a very challenging project. Different type of client. The QA was very different there to the Microsoft. Microsoft are very clear on their procedures, but we definitely had some challenges on that one with consistency, let's say, from what the need was from the client. So managing that relationship was a huge part of that project. And then I went on to work with Dornan in the UK. I worked with them for a short period, but again, another wonderful experience. Had a great time there for the short period I was there, but they've got some really polished processes, Dornan. I was very impressed with the level of pre-construction. They're very much an engineering company, and they start from the engineering side of things more than any, I would say. And there's a lot of detail goes into all of their processes. They have a clear process for each project. And that's, like I say, I've tried to cherry pick all the best things from these companies and bring them to Zona.
Yeah, good. I know, and it just shows that, like, getting all that different experience in different areas can, you know, you can go, there is loads of different paths in electrical, isn't there? The quality, the commissioning, the design, project management, program side. There's loads of opportunities right now as well, right?
Definitely. I think if you've got the right attitude, to be honest, you're halfway there. You know, it's just a case of showing that you're willing to learn. You want to absorb the information and understand how to build a project. Like I say, I come from a trade background, and a lot of the conversations I have these days, we're going through commercial conversations. You're going through clients' bids and scrutinizing them, detailed planning workshops and things like that, which were all new to me a few years ago, but now I'm slowly getting up to speed. I'm by no means a P6 planner or anything like that, but you start to pick up the processes and have an understanding of how these jobs go together.
Yeah. And I think it's quite nice. It'll be music to a lot of people's ears when I say Zona Group, I find with looking at UK candidates as well. It's not just all about the EU candidates. So there'll probably be a little bit free publicity for Zona then. Please get in touch with John, because there's going to be loads of jobs coming up soon, hopefully.
We've got a lot of work in the pipeline. Yeah, definitely. So fingers crossed, like I say, the next few months are critical for us, but we've done a lot of work behind the scenes, tendering for projects. We've got a few in the bag, so it's just a case of going ahead, growing the team, building the data center side of things from Zona. Like I said, it's a bit of a transition period for them, and a lot of these companies are going through huge growth, Zona included, and we're going to need skilled professionals for that.
That's good. Well, John, thanks for your time. I think what I've took away from this is a lot of it is attitude, which I think is, like, people say, well, it's understanding the data centers. Everyone thinks they can do it. It's not the complex, it's the pace. It's, do you want to work under that pressure? Do you want to do all those hours? And because that's what the program will dictate, right? And there's loads of learning curves, but if you're up for it, there is a great new career to go into, and a new sector to go into.
It is, yeah. And to be honest, I would take somebody with a good attitude over somebody slightly more qualified any day of the week, because you can teach people a lot of these processes. It's not really difficult on most of them, to be quite honest. A lot of it's just a huge shed. The shelling cores are generally quite straightforward. A lot of the switchgear now comes in containers and things like that. They're just hookups. It's not difficult. So it's just, the challenge now is on the programs, the really aggressive programs from all of these clients, because they want to be making money as quickly as possible, which is understandable. And they're paying all of these companies a lot of money to do that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's give people an insight, maybe who've either got the data center experience but not really got, or maybe one or two little projects under the belt, or for people who've not got the data centers are trying to be cracking into it. I think today we've told them, like, what we've got to do to, like, kind of, like, get a shot in the data center world, right? So,
two big things for me. You've got to be a good communicator, particularly with the clients. They're going to be demanding, but you need to understand they're paying a premium for their needs. They know what they want and they're paying for it. And if you've got a good attitude, I think you're halfway there.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. Well, thanks, John. Cheers for your time.
No
See
problem.
You later.
Thanks,
Bye.
Yeah. Bye.